Today in Your Health, the latest in our series on campus sexual assault. It can be hard to learn much about who commits sexual assaults on campus, and that's because only a very small number ever get reported to the police. But we wanted to find out what's known about the perpetrators and the circumstances that surround their crimes. So NPR's Laura Starczewski dug into research that gets into the minds of men who commit sexual assaults on campus. She has this report.
Psychologist David Lisak started looking into men who rape at college back in the 1980s. He surveyed about 1,800 men at UMass Boston. When the numbers came back in from that first study, Lisak was stunned. 120 men in the sample, or about 6%, had raped women they knew. Two-thirds of the guys were serial rapists, who had done this on average 6 times.
I was forced, really, to accept that, well, yes, these are college students, but there is this small percentage of college students who are sex offenders. They're behaving like sex offenders. They are sex offenders.
Together, the 120 men were responsible for 483 rapes. None of those were ever reported. So why would these guys talk to a researcher like Lisak about their crimes?
The reason that these men are not just willing, but actually were quite open about disclosing sexual assaults that they'd committed is that they don't view them as assaults. They don't view them as rape. Most of these men have an image or a myth, basically, about rape, that it's some guy in a ski mask wielding a knife. You know, they don't wear ski masks. They don't wield knives, so they don't see themselves as rapists.
I had this girl staked out. I picked her out in one of my classes, you know, worked on her. She was all prepped. I was watching for her, you know, and the minute she walked into the door of the party, I was on her.
This is an actor playing Frank, a pseudonym for a guy from Lisak's study. He's working from the actual interview transcript. Lisak says he heard the same tactics over and over again from these guys. They carefully planned their assaults. They'd ask the girls to come to a party, saying it was invite only, a big deal to nervous freshmen. And the guys' friends usually knew exactly what was going on. In fact, they'd help them prep for it.
We'd have all those kegs, but we always had some kind of punch also, you know, like our own home brew. And we'd make it with a real sweet juice and just pour in all kinds of alcohol. It was really powerful stuff. The girls wouldn't know it hit them.
Alcohol was the weapon of choice for these men, who typically saw themselves as college guys hooking up. They didn't think of what they'd done as a crime. In fact, they'd brag about it afterwards to their friends. That buy-in from friends, researchers say, is a big deal.
One of the things that matters most to boys and emerging adulthood men is the opinion of other men.
John Fobert is a researcher at Oklahoma State University. He studies rape prevention among young men. He says that in a group of guy friends, the opinions that matter so much and end up influencing behavior are often just what a guy thinks his friends think. More his perception than their actual opinions.
So let's say you have a peer group of 10 guys. One or two guys are constantly talking about, oh, I bagged this, you know, expletive. Many of the other men listening to that are uncomfortable, but they think everyone else supports it through their silence.
That silence is powerful. A number of studies from different colleges have shown that having friends who support violence against women is a major risk factor for committing sexual assault. So what if that silence could be broken before college, as early as high school?
I don't know if I'd call myself a jock. I would say I look at myself as a leader instead of a jock.
Xavier Scarlett is captain of the football team, the basketball team, and the track team. He's just about to start his senior year at West High in Sioux City, Iowa. But the past few weeks, he's been focused on getting ready to meet the incoming freshman guys.
Freshman year is so critical, because you're going to see things in high school that you probably haven't seen yet in your life.
Xavier is a mentor in a program called MVP, Mentors in Violence Prevention, which pairs up popular guys, many of them athletes, with a group of incoming freshmen who look up to them. Together, they talk through scenarios about dating, relationships, bullying, sexual assault, and rape.
You're with a girl, she's drunk, and you're sober. How does that make you feel as a guy, you know? Will you let your guy friends down by not doing anything with her?
One of the scenarios about sexual assault plays out like a story from David Lisak's study. There's a big party happening. You see a guy you know with an extremely drunk girl, and he's trying to leave with her.
Do I let them just leave, or do I grab him, or do I grab her, or do I get some friends? You know, if I say something, then my friend will judge me. He'll be mad at me for stopping him. or, you know, what will the girl say about me? Will rumors start about me in school?
Some of those scenarios, you will never see those. You'll never see them in high school.
Tucker Carroll was an MVP mentor, too. He's now a junior at Iowa State University and a member of the Delta Tau Delta fraternity. He says that once he got to Iowa State, he started seeing the scenarios play out in real life, and he was ready. The day we talked, he told me he'd used his MVP training to intervene in a situation just the night before.
I was at a going-away party last night for one of my friends that was getting shipped off to basic training.
This was at a bar in Ames, Iowa. Tucker noticed that one of the guy's cousins was pretty drunk. She was over by the jukebox with two guys who weren't part of the party. They were strangers. Tucker says he was paying attention to her body language and something didn't look right. She looked almost cornered.
What I saw last night was, you know, you kind of raise your shoulders up more, you back up a little bit more, you twist around a little bit more, kind of side to side, trying to look for which way you're trying to get out, maybe not really making eye contact with the guys at all.
Tucker's friend saw him looking over there and asked what was going on. What was Tucker seeing that he couldn't see?
He was just oblivious completely to it. And we had that discussion. He was just like, do you think she's fine?
So he enlisted that guy to help him step in. They went over to the jukebox together.
We were like, hey, let's pick a song. And, you know, we had her pick a song when we were over there and we just walked. We were like, hey, let's go back to the table and see your cousin.
And that was it. The night went on as if nothing had happened. Tucker says he's had more in-depth interventions with guys in his fraternity who've gotten out of line, who talk about women in a way that makes him uncomfortable. He'll sit down with them, sometimes even bringing a woman they've hit on into the conversation.
There's more accountability than just sending them out your front door or just saying, hey, you're just being rude, you need to leave. Like, that doesn't solve anything. It might stop the current situation, but that doesn't stop it from happening again.
There are only a few dozen high schools around the country that offer the MVP program. It's been embedded in public high schools in Sioux City, Iowa for more than 10 years, but researchers have yet to evaluate how effective it is in reducing incidents of sexual violence. David Lisak says there's strong evidence, though, that this kind of training is urgently needed in high schools.
We also have research now that confirms that the vast majority of these serial offenders started committing sexual assaults in high school, at least.
Lisak says that by the time 18-year-olds leave for college, they need to be hearing this kind of challenge from their guy friends.
This idea that getting somebody intoxicated, plastered, whatever you want to call it, so that you can have sex with them, is an idea that we just simply are going to have to confront and challenge and erode. Just as we have challenged and eroded the idea that it's fun and perfectly fine to get drunk and get in your car. You know, we really have changed how normative that is and how acceptable that is in a matter of, what, 2 to 3 decades.
John Fobert, the researcher in Oklahoma, says it's important to remember that 90% of men have never committed rape. The key is opening their eyes to what's going on with the other 10% so they can see it and respond. Laura Starcheski, NPR News.